Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter number 6. And usually don't do this very often. Usually very settled on things, but struggle a little bit throughout the evening on direction. And the Lord gave us direction, we trust. And so Mark chapter 6. And just want to encourage you tonight, the Word of God. Mark chapter number 6, verse number 45, if you'll look there with me. It's a great passage of the Word of God. Of course, all passages are great passages of the Word of God. But tonight, this one in particular, particularly always speaks to me. And I trust tonight it'll speak to you. Let's look there in chapter 6 of Mark, verse number 45. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them, saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we certainly need you tonight. Lord, it's our prayer that for these next few moments you would arrest our attention. God, you'd bind the powers of Satan. You would keep away the distractions. Help us to see only thee. Lord, tonight it's our prayer that you'd meet with us. And God, when it's all said and done, that you would help us to leave and not think what a preacher, what a church, but God, that we'd drive down the road thinking what a Savior. Lord, tonight we pray you'd help us. Lord, there are hurting hearts. There are people, no doubt, that are dealing with things, that are going through situations and struggle and strife and trials. And Lord, we know that you're the one that can meet every need. We pray you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. We'll praise you. Amen. In our text tonight, the disciples have been given a task by the Lord Jesus to go on a preaching tour. As they head out on this preaching tour, the Lord, they're out preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and casting out demons. And they're just out doing the work of God. God's told them to go out and don't take anything with them. And anyone that receives them into their house, go in. The others that do not receive them, shake the dust off their feet as a testimony against them. They're out preaching the gospel. They get word that their good friend and longtime companion, John the Baptist, has been arrested. They find out not only has he been arrested, they find out he's been beheaded for the cause of Christ, simply for preaching the gospel. It's time to head back. They're excited. In verse number 30 of our text here, if you back up to verse number 30, we find out that they head to a desert place. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They find out when they get to the desert place that the people had beat them there. They had thought, man, this is going to, we're going to have us a time. We're finally going to be able to have a time alone with the Lord. And we've been out preaching and we've been all this time away from the Lord. And we want to tell him everything that has happened in our ministry. But they find that those people that had been following them, following Jesus, beat them to where they were going to the desert place. So they got there and the crowd was there with them. And so there's all these people around and they need food. And they look and they see that look that they've seen before in Jesus' eyes. And they said, you feed Jesus where he said, you feed them. And so, you know the story. They begin to feed the 5,000 men plus women and children. As they feed these folks, the Bible says when they're finished, they gather up the 12 baskets of fragments. That brings us to our text in verse number 48. And I want to draw your attention to that verse tonight. And you look at it with me. The Bible said, and he saw them, notice the verbiage, toiling in rowing. Toiling in rowing. That word toiling is a very interesting word. It means to labor with torture. To labor all the way to the point of pain. Notice the Bible does not say toiling and rowing. But the Bible said toiling in rowing. In other words, in the work that God had given them to do, he had told them, get in the ship and row to the other side unto Bethsaida. And in that work that God had given them to do, it was torture, sometimes it was labor, all the way to the point of pain in the work that God gave them to do. And the honest truth tonight is sometimes that's how the Christian life is. Friend, I don't have a sad story to tell. The greatest life you could ever live is the Christian life. Amen? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything else I know. But if we'd be honest tonight, sometimes it's hard. If we'd be honest tonight, sometimes there's pain, and sometimes in the work of God and in the center of God's will, it is not always peaches and cream. Everything's not all the time lovely. All the time we don't wake up with roses on our chest. And I'm just simply saying it's not always that way. The honest truth is tonight, sometimes it's hard. And sometimes the work that the Lord gives us to do, we find ourselves laboring in pain. It might be pain in our heart. It might be pain in our body. It might be pain with somebody else's situation that they're going through. And sometimes it's painful, and sometimes it's a struggle, and sometimes it's hard to live the Christian life. You got a Bible, it tells you that they that will live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. Is that what your Bible says? No, it says shall. Friend, you can mark it down. Shall suffer persecution. Now think about what Jesus said to his disciples. He's trying to prepare them for ministry. And he said to them, hey, let me tell you something. I'm fixing to go to the cross, and you're going to be left here to carry this thing on. And let me share something with you. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And sometimes it's hard. The Bible says here in the work that God had given them to do, they were toiling. In rowing. I want to preach on this simple thought tonight. When the rowing gets rough, keep rowing. When the rowing gets rough, keep rowing. Let me tell you something I've noticed, especially over the last year or so, is people are hurting. There's a lot of people that are struggling in so many different areas. And as a pastor, I know many things that some people in this building are struggling with. I don't know everything, but I know some things. I know some things that's in different people's life. And I'm going to tell you something. There's never, ever been a time since I've been a pastor where we've had where there are not people somewhere in the pews that I knew about that they're going through difficulty in their life. And somebody's struggling with finances. Somebody's struggling physically in all these other areas. I'm telling you, more than ever in the last year or so, people are hurting. Somebody said in the average Baptist church that there's a broken heart on every pew. And I've learned that to be the truth. And people are walking into the doors and out of the doors of independent Baptist churches that are hurting. God showed me something several years ago. I was sitting on the platform at a different church. I was preaching that night. I was sitting on that platform, and I was looking out into this audience. You know how it is, see who's there. You're thinking about what you're going to preach and seeing who's there and just thinking about all those things. And as I sat there, we had people over here on this side of me, and they're praising God. They're laughing. They're shouting. And I mean, they're having them a time, and just seemed like they were on the mountaintop. And there were some people right back over here on this side. In that same building sat a man who had just lost his job. Not only had he just lost his job, but his wife had been diagnosed with cancer. Good man, good people. Knew him well. That night as I sat there, I also looked a little further back on this side, and sitting back there had sat a lady with her children, had two children come up my youth department. And her husband was not there. He had gotten hooked on painkillers with a back injury. Man was a Sunday school teacher, great man, but it happened. And he had entered a year program, biblical program, to get over it. And they're doing great now. We praise the Lord for it. Somebody else over on this side had just lost a loved one. And I realized that night that while there were some that were happy and there were some who was on the mountaintop and some that things were going well and everything was running just right and everything in their life was going well, there were some others over here and boy, the life was hard and the valley was deep and things were tough and it was just a struggle for them to get through every day. Hey, listen, anybody that tells you that living the Christian life is a continual will never be different. Your problem will never be solved. And the devil's told you that why in the world do you just keep on wanting to just throw in the towel? Well, I want to tell you tonight that the devil's a liar and God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And if you're here tonight and you're facing things that's hard in your life, if you're here tonight and that old sea is raging like it was here in the Word of God, oh, and the wind's blowing and the tempest is brewing, I want to tell you tonight that you might, that things might seem like they're never going to end, that things might seem like they're never going to get better. Just keep rolling, amen.
Amen.
The rolling gets rough. Just keep rolling. If we look at this tonight, I want you to notice several things in our text that I think can be an encouragement to you. Notice, first of all, the disciples' condition. Notice the disciples' condition. Verse number 47. The Bible said, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Notice the picture. Here they sit in the middle of this raging sea. I mean, this wasn't some vacation. This was not some sightseeing trip. These weren't men out here with a line thrown over the edge, drowning worms. This wasn't some fishing escapade, but instead they're out here in the middle of the sea fighting for their life. But you notice, first of all, about this, number one, they were weary and worn. Talking about their condition, they were weary and worn. Notice they were spiritually tired. Whether you realize it or not, it can be and is sometimes spiritually draining to serve the Lord. No doubt it is. It's spiritually draining. Sometimes they were spiritually tired. They had been on this preaching tour, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons, and seeing souls saved. And you can imagine how spiritually exhausting all that must have been. As a pastor, I know something about how they might have felt. I'm sure that there's some Sunday school teachers in here that may know a little bit about what they might have felt like, that understood a little bit about. I say there may be some nursery workers in here that know something about what this is. Let me say this tonight. It is possible to get weary in well-doing. They were spiritually tired. They don't say they were emotionally tired. They had just buried their good friend and longtime companion, John the Baptist. But you remember some of these disciples had followed John before they ever followed Jesus. They were John's disciples. Their heart was no doubt heavy. They're grieving. They're concerned. They were hurting and they have many questions that's weighing on their mind. And these disciples, emotionally speaking, they were wrung out. I wonder if there might be somebody like that here tonight. Emotionally, just speaking, you can't take any more bad news. Emotionally tonight, it seems that so many critical things have recently happened in your life, and it's been one thing after another thing, and one trial after another trial, and one bout of bad news after another bad news, and one thing after another thing, and emotionally you're worn slap out. Not only were they spiritually tired and emotionally tired, but they were physically tired. Think about the physical strain that there would have been on them in this preaching tour. They had just got back from not only all the things that we've been told you, they'd gotten back from walking house to house and going from place to place and healing the sick and casting out the demons and all those things. And they were out there with no provisions. He said, go out without a bag or a scrip. Just take a staff with you. They're out there with no provisions. And unless somebody invited them in, they didn't even have anything to eat or anything to drink. Oh, listen, they were physically tired. And they come back and immediately they're given the task of feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. They thought they was going to rest, but they instead got to feed 5,000 men and women and children. Now, Jesus says to them, hey, get in a boat and row to the other side. Physically, they're worn out. We just need to be honest tonight. Sometimes it's a challenge to serve God, and that's why many people don't. Not only were they weary and worn, but watch this. They were waiting and wondering. Where's the Lord? Just think about this. You ever thought about this in this story? Where's the Lord while all this is happening? Where's the Lord in all of it? After all, his disciples are out here in the middle of the sea being tossed to and fro. And as I began to read this story some time ago and meditate on it, I began to think about those disciples out there in the middle of that dark sea. And I began to think that the thing that had to be on their mind is, where's the Lord while all this is taking place? What had to be on their mind is the same thing that's been on many of your minds. Where's the Lord in our storm? Where's the Lord in our trial? You ever been there? I've been there. Where's the Lord in my situation? Where's the Lord in this problem? Where's the Lord in this predicament? Where's the Lord in what I'm going through? Where's the Lord when my heart's breaking? Where's God in all of it? And I think of a man by the name of Job who was there. In Job 23, you know the story of Job. At a time, in the span of 24 hours, he's lost everything. He's been reduced to sitting in sackcloth and ashes in poverty. He's lost his family. He's lost his finances. He's lost his health. He's lost his wealth. He's lost it all. And Job's sitting there with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's got a little piece of pottery scraping the boils on his body, sitting in those ashes that have been burned. There's nothing left but memories. Job cries out. He cries out, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Seems like he can't find God. Seems like God just went out to pasture somewhere. Seems like God's nowhere to be found. And Job in his trial and Job in his situation, as he sits there, he says, where's God in all this? They're wondering the same thing, no doubt about it. A little later on, old Job figures out, and he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as good. In other words, I might not be able to find him, but he's got me on his radar.
That's right.
I might not know where he is, but he knows where I am. You know the thing I'm glad about tonight? I'm glad in those times in my life when I can't trace God, I can still trust God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad for those times when it seems like we can't find him and it seems like he's nowhere in sight. It seems like when we pray through the heaven or just brass and our prayer just bouncing off the ceiling and we can't get to God. I'm glad tonight it's in those times that it seems like God's nowhere to be found. Just look around. Somewhere, standing in the shadows, you'll find God.
Amen.
I said, where's God in all this? We're in the storm of our life. Notice secondly tonight, not only the disciples' condition, notice the Lord's position. Look with me at verse 46. I love this. And look with me at verse 46 of chapter 6. Starting there. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray, talking about Jesus. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. So the ship's out there in the middle of the sea, and he alone, that's Jesus alone on the land. Watch these next words. And he saw them. And he saw them. Listen, I don't know what you may be going through tonight. You can rest assured he knows. He sees. He's aware. You know, the Bible tells us here that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. And if you know your Bible geography, you know that that mountain overlooked the Sea of Galilee that Jesus went up into to pray. If that mountain overlooked the Sea of Galilee, then Jesus was up there praying. That means that before those disciples ever felt the first drop of rain, before they ever felt the first gasp of wind, before those disciples ever become aware that they were in a storm, Jesus already knew it. Amen? He had already seen it. He's looking out there over that sea, and before they ever knew, he already knew. Can I just say this tonight, child of God, way before you ever got to that place that you're at in your life tonight, God already knew all about it. Way before that problem ever arose, way before that bill ever arrived, way before that situation ever came to you, aren't you glad tonight that you and I, we serve a God that sits high and he looks low and everything's under his feet and he can solve any problem that you and I have? Someone said this, that God sees the song says God sees the rainbow when all we can still see is the rain. Aren't you glad tonight he sees the end from the beginning and not the beginning from the end? He knows what's on the other side, friend. You remember our friend Job couldn't find God. And then as I said in verse 10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. He knows where I am. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord, the Bible says he saw them. One night, the house caught on fire. There's a little boy that was stranded upstairs, the second floor. All that little boy could see was smoke and flames. But he could hear his father's voice. Jump! Jump, son! He said, but Daddy, I can't see you. Dad said, but son, I can see you, and that's all that matters. You know, tonight, you might not be able to see God in your trial. You might not be able to sense God in your pain. You might not be able to see God in what you're going through. It seems like he's nowhere to be found. Oh, but you hear me tonight, he can see everything. It might not be clear to you, but it's clear to him, and he knows exactly what's going on. He sees, and then noticeably, secondly, he cares. The Bible says here that Jesus went up into a mountain for one reason. Said he went up into a mountain to pray. And I can imagine as Jesus began to, he gets up that mountain and he sees his disciples fixing ahead into that storm. Remember, he's God in the flesh, and 100% God and 100% man. He gets up there and he's understanding, and he sees these disciples, they're fixing to head into that storm, and he can see the storm off in the distance, and he sees that boat heading right toward it, and the winds and the waves and all that comes forth with the storm. And about that time, those disciples begin to feel that first burst of wind and that first bit of rain and that first bit of a whirlwind of a storm. I can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ falls on his face, and he said, oh, Father, there's 12 men out here in a boat, and Father, I love these men. These men have left all and followed me. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them. I pray you'd give them strength. I pray you'd help them not to turn back. Lord, help them to keep rowing. Do you understand tonight that whatever you may be going through, please hear me, Jesus is praying for you. He forever liveth to make intercession for men. That's what he told Peter. Peter, I got to share something with you tonight. Satan had desire to have you. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. No matter what you may be going through tonight, you can joy in the fact that Jesus Christ is praying for you. Was it Robert McMurray that said, if I knew the Lord was in the next room praying for me, I wouldn't fear a million things against me, a million people against me. And then he said this, yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. If you'll get a hold of this one truth, it'll revolutionize your life. Jesus is praying for you. He said, I prayed for thee. In fact, he tells us in John 17, Jesus says, I pray not only for them alone, talking about the disciples, but he says, for all those that believe. If you're a child of God tonight, you can rest assured that Jesus Christ is praying for you. He sees, he cares. Sing the song, the great quartet sing the song, Does Jesus Care? When my heart is hurt too deeply for word or song, when the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, and then the answer comes back, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He sees, he cares, and then notice in our text he comes. Look at verse 48 with me tonight. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he Don't miss this. We read right past it. He cometh unto them. He cometh unto them. You know what I'm glad about? I'm glad tonight when I could not go to where he was, he came to me.
Amen.
When my sin wouldn't let me get to God, when I couldn't approach, listen, I couldn't get to heaven, I'm glad tonight when I could not go to where he was, he came to me. They had tried all they could. They had done all they could. They had rode and rode and tried their best to get. Hey, listen, I'm glad when there was no rose red enough and there was no lamb white enough and there was no man good enough and the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made of the law to redeem him that was under the law. When we could not go to where he was, he came to us. He cometh unto them, the Bible says. God will show up. And it's usually when it seems all hope is gone. God's seldom early. He's never late, but he's usually just right on time. Which you notice again, the Bible says, and about the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch. The fourth watch is a picture of hopelessness. The fourth watch, if you know anything about the time period, the Jewish time clock, the fourth watch is a picture of despair and darkness and desperation, and I'm at my wit's end. It's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., and who knows that that's usually the darkest part of the night. That's usually the loneliest part of the night. And the disciples had probably stopped even praying. They're out there in the middle of that sea, and they're making no headway, and it just seems that storm's just overcoming them. And if he was going to come, surely he would have already came by now. Can I just say, listen, you might be in your fourth watch tonight and you're just barely treading water and it seems like you're even starting to take some on and your boat's about to sink and it looks like you're going to go down. I want to encourage you tonight, just keep rowing. Don't you give up. Don't you back up. God will show up, and usually it's when it seems like there's no hope. Never forget a story. Old Lee Robertson, Tennessee Temple all those years. Lee Robertson's wife passed away. He kind of lost his mind. And every day was kind of like Groundhog's Day to him. Every day it's like he would lose her all over again. They'd married maybe 60 years, but a long time. And he went into evangelism when he resigned Highland Park Baptist Church. And he was out preaching at a church, something like this, one night. And the choir's up singing, they're doing the song service, and he's downstairs in the pastor's office. Assistant pastor goes down and says, Brother Robertson, says, we're about ready for you to come preach to us. You're about ready. He could tell that Lee Robertson had been crying. He looked at the man, he said, shut the door, young man. He shut the door, and he went in, and he said, I just can't go. God, I miss her. And he was just having a time missing his wife. He said, I can't. And they cried, and that young man cried with him, and said maybe 5 or 10 minutes went by. And this all of a sudden said he just looked up. Lee Robertson was always double-breasted, always, you know, vest, the whole thing. He stood up, and the only thing he said, looked at him, he said, open the door. Open the door. He said, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. God showed up for that man of God that night. He mounted the pulpit. He preached with conviction and preached what thus saith the Lord. Listen to me. I'm telling you tonight, God will show up. Usually when he shows up, he likes to show off. If he has to walk on a stormy sea, if he's got to be the fourth man in a fiery furnace, if he's got to be a sling in the hand of David, God will show up in your time of need. We sing the song sometimes, don't overlook your blessing. When you're walking in the valley, just look around. You'll find the Lord somewhere. And in your grief and strife, count the blessings of your life. Don't overlook your blessings while you're there. But you notice how he showed up. First of all, he showed up with assurance. Look at verse 50. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith to them, watch what he has, watch his word. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Isn't it amazing how much the Lord can bring so much assurance to our life, no matter what predicament we're in?
It is I. Be of good cheer. I'm glad we serve the Prince of Peace. He showed up with assurance. Oh, I thank God for the times He's spoken sweet peace to my heart when I didn't know what I was going to do, didn't have it figured out, didn't know which way to turn. I'm glad for the times that He shows up and we didn't even know if we're going the right direction or know that how everything's going to turn out. And He only shows up and says this, hey, be of good cheer, it's all right. I'm still here. Shows up with assurance. And then notice He showed up with amazement. The Bible says in verse 51, and He went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think? We serve an amazing God. Why does it surprise us and amaze us when God does what He said He could do and what we know He can do? But we're amazed by it because we don't expect it. Many times we don't believe it. We see the disciples' condition, the Lord's position. Lastly, I want you to notice the worthwhile mission. Don't miss this. The worthwhile mission. Something I've learned about storms is that they're never for nothing. They're never for naught. Your trial tonight, listen to me, is not in vain. Your predicament is not in vain. Your storm is not in vain. Your pain is certainly not in vain. What was it that made this great trial and this great storm worth it all? Notice the destination tonight, verse 45. And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. Notice where they're going. Go the other side before unto Bethsaida. Now just the fact He says roll into the other side ought to speak to us. But then He specifically says, Bethsaida, He is very specific in his instruction. You say, Brother Dixon, what does this matter? I'm glad you asked. In John 1:44, the Bible tells us, says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. When the Lord said, hey, get in the boat and row to the other side, and then He said those other words, unto Bethsaida. At least three of the 12 men in that boat thought this, boys, we're going home. We're headed home. Might I remind you tonight, we're also headed home. We're not just paddling through the water. We're not just floating around on the sea of life. We're not just rowing without direction, but we have purpose. We have a destination. Our sights are set on glory. Hey, we've come too far to turn back now. Just keep rowing. He told him, He said, get into a boat and row to the other side. Hey, friend, you and I right now, we're in the middle of that sea of life, rowing around and going. But praise God, one day we're going to get to the other side of the river and our faith will be made sight and our toils and strifes will all be over. Just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Even when it hurts. You say, but it's painful. I know, but keep rowing. You say, but it's hard. I know, but just keep rowing. You say, but the wind's contrary. I know, but keep rowing. You say, but if the sea's raging. I know, but keep rowing. You say, the oar's getting heavy and my arms are beginning to dip. I know, but keep rowing. Just remember, we're headed home. I love the song, some call it heaven, where life will not cease. Some call it paradise, the land of sweet peace. Some call it glory, with eyes on the throne. But I'm longing for Jesus, so I'll just call it home. Praise God, one day we'll be there. I know sometimes we get discouraged. I don't know why sometimes bad things happen to good people. But I've thought a lot on it. You think about this story, and these disciples are right smack dab in the center of God's will. Yet they find themselves in the storms of their life. I've come to this conclusion. God knows the exact path He needs to take me down in order for me to end up where He wants me.
That's right.
He knows the exact path. Oh, I look back on my life at some of the hard things we went through. And I see the unseen hand of God in all of it. God knows the exact path that He's got to take us down to get us where He can use us. And He knows what trials and struggles we need to go through so we can learn what He wants to teach us. I don't know why right here that Peter finds himself in a storm. I don't know why Job, a man that feared God and eschewed evil, found himself sitting there. No family, no financial future, no health. Bulls from the top of his head, pain like you can imagine, crying in the ashes. I don't know why we went through the same, some of the things we went through, and you went through some of the things you went through. But I know this, standing before you tonight is somebody that has been through that fire. And I've come out better. A more pure product, more usable to God. And God's given me more faith than ever before. And he's given me more desire to serve him than ever before. Listen, tonight, I don't know what the future holds for your eye. I don't know what the future holds for Crossroads Baptist Church, but I know who holds the future. Hey, and when we're weak and weary, that's when his strength is made perfect. Just keep rolling. Just be found faithful. Not only their destination, but notice their determination. Think about this. Notice verse 51. The Bible says, and he went up unto them into the ship. I want you to think about this, their determination. When Jesus got there, they were all still in the ship. When Jesus got there, they're all still there. They're still rowing. I wonder if these disciples may have been embarrassed when the Lord saw how far they had made it. I imagine Peter, you know, the great spokesman. I imagine he spoke up and said, Lord, I know we hadn't made it very far, but we didn't stop rowing. Lord, I know we didn't get to where you wanted us to get to, but we never stopped rowing. I want to be found faithful when the Lord shows up, don't you? Amen. I want to be found faithful. Listen, our job is faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Somebody may be here tonight and you're thinking about quitting. Just going to drop the oar. Somebody may come in tonight and say, if God don't do something in my life now, this week or today or tonight, I don't know if I can do it anymore. If God don't show up and if God don't do something for me, a couple years ago, got a preacher friend, he had a man in his church, 33-year-old man, who's dying with esophageal cancer. And the preacher, of course, knew about it. He'd been there with him through the thing. And one night, his name was Jim, and the wife's name was Mandy. One night, as they're heading out, Mandy went out and she shook the preacher's hand. She said, preacher, pray for me. He said, Mandy, I'm praying for Jim. She said, no. She said, preacher, pray for me. She said, Jim's all right. Pray for me. He said, the preacher thought it, you know, she's in denial. Because he knew the situation. And he said, I didn't want to, you know, you never want to be unkind, but he said, I wanted to be ready. He said, Mandy, honey, I'm telling you, he said, Jim's not okay. I listened to the doctor, what they said. And I mean, unless God does something, Jim's going to die. He's not going to make it. She said, no, preacher, I don't understand. She said, Jim's saved, and I was there. He's going to be with Jesus, and I know where he's going, and he's all right. Preacher, pray for me. Then she said this, pray that I don't fail God. So I've been through, and I've seen situations like this before with people, and they go through things, and when their faith is really tested. And I've seen them do all kind of crazy things. She said, pray that I don't fail God. Old Jim did end up passing away. And the night before, I think he passed away, the preacher went over to his house, had two little girls. He set both of the kids up there in the bed with their daddy. And they prayed together. One of them prayed, Lord, Daddy's going to come see you soon. Take care of him. Watch over him. It's the hardest thing he'd ever done. The preacher said that, being there in that situation. And Jim passed away. And a couple months later, he had an office, something like mine, pretty close to the auditorium. And the choir already struck and began to sing, and they're just starting, and as he hears the piano playing, he says, man, he says, That sounds like a Caliphe Roland song, which the song Emily sung was a Caliphe Roland song. He said, that sounds like a Caliphe Roland song. He said, matter of fact, that sounds like that song Safe Thus Far. As he's coming around, he's fixing to come in the doors, like those back doors right there. He said, about the time that he come through those back doors, fixing to walk up to the platform, he said, there she came like a champion out of the choir. Had a microphone in her hand. It was Mandy. I just came from the throne room today. I've been talking with him. And I'm reminded of where he's brought me from and where I could have been. I've sailed through many waters, rough and deep, but someone sailed each one with me. I stood in the face of stormy seas as they rolled apart. I rested in peace as he spoke to my trembling heart. And I really don't know what lies ahead. I have no doubt, no fear, no dread. Whatever be, I'll still be standing, telling my story, safe thus far. Let's be faithful when God shows up. One day the clouds will begin to break. The sun is going to begin to shine again. You'll be glad you kept rolling. Every single person that's been at this thing for more than just a little while have had those times in your life where you've mentally, not, hope, praise the Lord, not physically, but mentally at least, maybe even somewhat spiritually, have quit. I'm glad, and you'll be glad, that you kept rowing. Somebody may be here tonight just spiritually, just emotionally, things that you're going through. You're in a battle. You're weary and worn. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a job. But just emotionally speaking, you're wrung out and you're worn out. He sees. He cares. And he always comes. Don't lose heart. Don't forget your purpose in the fight. There is a destination. I'm glad tonight it gets better farther on. Amen. Hey, the sun's coming up in the morning. I can tell you this. We better be glad he didn't quit on us. Amen. Oh, you see Jesus coming down the Via Della Rosa, all beaten and bloodied and bruised. If there's ever anybody who should have quit and could have quit justifiably, for a bunch of sinners like us, it was him. But I'm glad he's from that cross cried out, it is finished. May God help us. When Jesus comes back, we'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. As we stand for prayer tonight, whatever it is, you just come and give it to the Lord and say, God, you take it. You do with it what only you can do. Whatever it is tonight, maybe somebody you need to pray for. Whatever it is, hey, when the rowing gets rough, and it does get rough, and it will get rough, when the rowing gets rough, let's just keep rowing.